You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
I stand before God at the end of my life. I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I hope you are doing well. I want to encourage you, you can find out a bit more from today's teaching on our St. Luke app. I've included a helpful article that you might consider reading. And what we're talking about is Irma's Law, Irma Bombeck, the famous writer, syndicated newspaper columnist, wife, mother. She once said, "When I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say I used everything you gave me." Yes? We write at dawn. Everybody, we're on a mission. There is one great big mission. That's what our life is. And when we arrive before God, we want to be able to say, God, I used it all. I used everything that you had, everything that you've given me. And here's the struggle. You only get so much time. Are you with me? You only get so much time. And how many of you feel like life is a race against the clock? Yes, you are my people. I love you. Yeah, I feel the same way, very much so. It's hard. And you ever wonder, like, where does the time go? I was talking with Mandy the other day. Our daughter's going to be a senior in high school next year. And we said, where did that go? I mean, it feels like just the other day we were bringing that kid home, driving 15 miles an hour on the way home, and saying to everybody who drove the speed limit, slow down! Where does the time go? But we have these seasons in our lives, and we look back and we say, how did that happen? Where did all of that time go? And the narrative that gets spun in our culture is something like this: you're so busy. It's a badge of honor to be busy. Have you noticed this? So busy. And then we fight with one another about who's busier. I'm so busy. No way, girl. I'm busier than you. I mean, this just goes on and on and on about how busy we are. And I get it. That's why they make all of the products and services and subscriptions that you can buy so you'll be less busy. And here's a question I have. Has for anyone that worked out well? No. I mean, you get ripped off because, you know, you think it's going to make you less busy, but you're just busier because now all of a sudden you got something else to pour your time into. And that's the black hole phenomenon, right? We pour our time into all of these different places and we wonder someday when we wake up, like, where'd it go? Where'd it go? That's why they call it the web. You get sucked in, and then you're stuck to it, and you spend more time there. It's why we multitask. That's why we text and drive. It's always a good idea. That's why people do emails while they're eating with their loved ones at dinner. And let me tell you something. If multitasking were such a great idea, here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to do a geometry problem and run a skill saw at the same time. Okay? And when that doesn't work out, Dr. Mark Einbecker, who's a hand surgeon in the back, he'll be glad to talk to you afterwards on a consult. Mark, I'm going to send some business your way. Yeah, I mean, absolutely, it's crazy. How much of our time gets poured into social media? In fact, I'd love for us to take a poll this morning. Grab your cell phone out after I told you to quit using it. And you can text to the number 22333, 22333. You're going to want to enter in St. Luke 935 and take our poll this morning. So you're going to want to text to 22333. Then you're going to enter in St. Luke 935, and you can take our poll. You never use social media, good for you. You use it less than 1 hour daily. You use it 1 to 2 hours daily, 2 to 3 hours daily, or it's part of your job, or more than three. We'll take just a minute to do that. So you're going to text to the number 22333, the word St. Luke 935. That'll bring up the poll for you, and then enter in your response. Pretty similar to what the other services responded with. 1 to 2, some 2 to 3, some 3 or more. It's part of your job. You know, that's not far off. In fact, there was a survey that was done about a year ago by a social media expert firm, and they said if you're ages 16 to 24, if you're a male, you'll use social media about 2.5 hours a day. A woman, 3 hours a day. 25 to 34, about 2.5 hours a day, whether male or female. 35 to 44, about 2.25 hours. 45 to 54, around 2 hours. And 55 to 64, around 1.5 hours or 1 hour and 45 minutes. That's a lot of time on social media, if you haven't noticed. Now, here's the thing, friends. Time is the only resource in your life, and all of it is given to you by God. It's the only true resource in your life, and all of it is given to you by God. The money in your bank account is a function of time. Right? Y'all get this? So, like, if you go do a job, you're giving your time for an employer to give you money, and then the money becomes the currency by which you trade other people for their time. So if you go buy a new Toyota, right, you're trading your time that you've saved up for a vehicle, or you're trading your future time on a loan at interest, which other people put their time into managing the interest payments and the amortization schedules and all this kind of stuff, for the vehicle in which people built spending their time. Everything's a function of time. Every resource in your life is a function of time. It is precious. You can't make more, you can't get more, and the hardest part about time is what? You don't know how much you get. Are you with me? Absolutely. I remember sitting at the bedside of an incredibly wealthy man in the last, I don't know, few weeks of his life, and we talked about some of his greatest joys and his regrets. Successful business person. And he said, you know, he loved what he did, but he loved spending more time with his family. And as much as he thought it was important to be involved in every decision, every day, making his business as successful as it could possibly be, the one regret that he had is if he could go back, he would have invested more time with his family and the people that he loved, and realized the extra client that he thought he had, that he had to take care of, he probably didn't. Because in the end, that's what mattered most. So today I want to take a look at this parable we're studying from Matthew chapter 20 through the lens of time. Listen to what the scriptures say. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. Now, one of the key lenses I gave you last week is I want you to read this passage not from the perspective that you're the day laborer, you're trying to go out and work every day, but rather that you're the landowner. God has provided you an abundant amount of resources, of time, of talent, of treasure, calling you to leave a legacy for the kingdom. So when you show up before God, you can say, I used it all. I tried to use everything that you gave me to the best of my ability. You're a landowner. You're not a day laborer. And God calls us to invest these resources wisely. Notice how the parable begins. The scriptures say, for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. There's a powerful thing that Jesus is trying to get at us here this morning. What's early? First hour of the Jewish day is 6 a.m. 6 a.m. How do you start your day preparing for the mission that God has in store for you? Now, there's a question I want to ask. Do you start your day with some scripture, some prayer, thinking about your calendar? How am I going to invest the time wisely that God has given me today? Or do you start off like this? Girl, that looks epic. Do you start off with the latest train wreck that happened overnight? Or do you start off preparing the day by investing the time with God? And here's the struggle. I think we got a lot of people who could tell me every current thing that's happening in the political world, but if I were to ask you to quote a scripture from the gospel passages, we'd be here a little bit. How can that be? How well do you prepare? How do you invest your time? Do you prepare with God for the day, or do you dump your time down a black hole? The story goes that there were two farmers who were praying for rain. And one prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And the other prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And then he also prepared the soil for when the rain would come. Now, who was the faithful farmer? The one who prayed and prepared, yes? Can you get up a little earlier and start the day with Jesus? And in starting the day with Jesus, recognize that now you have an abundance of time. And you're on a mission. The mission's from God. The mission is to bring the kingdom in. The mission is to change lives and change the world. And the landowner, he is out preparing for the harvest. He prioritizes his time for the mission. In fact, look at what the scriptures say to us again. The kingdom of heaven, first verse, is like a master of the house who went out early. What time's early? 6 a.m. to do what?
Hire.
What's his mission?
Hire.
You got it. Exactly. A double plus. Love it. His mission is to hire. Is his mission to go out and do accounting? Is his mission to go drive the tractor? That's a trick question because there were no tractors. Is his mission to go do marketing? Is his mission to go do research and development? No, what's his mission? His mission is to go hire people. And so that's where he's going to invest his time, is in the mission that God has called him to. That's where the priority of time goes. And look, this mission, he fulfills it over and over. In fact, there are five times that he goes out on the mission to hire laborers. Happens at 6 a.m., then the third hour, which is 9, then the sixth hour, which is noon, then the ninth hour, which is 3, and the 11th hour, which is 5 p.m. Five times he prioritizes the mission of hiring people to go into the field and be laborers. And the point that Jesus is making is this isn't any new mission, this is an old mission. In fact, if you ever want to know how this creation is supposed to run, you got two chapters of the Bible to read, Genesis 1 and 2. That's the before. You want to know how it's supposed to be? Read Genesis 1 and 2. And what you'd read in Genesis 1 and 2 is that God created everything. And when he created everything, he handed it over to people. And that's a hard thing to do. You ever hand anything over to your kid? Create everything, hand it over to the kids and said, here's the deal. This is yours. Fill the earth, subdue it, rule over it, take care of it. And what the scriptures tell us, in fact, in Genesis 2:15, one verse very specifically, the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden to do what?
Work
it and keep it. He took. First example of that word, he took. He took the man. In fact, we're going to hear this word a couple more times early in the book of Genesis. He's also going to take from the woman a rib and takes out of the side so as not to make the woman greater or lesser, but equal to. That's the point. And later on, we're going to hear the same word took, and it's used that the ark of Noah and his family is going to come to rest on the top of Mount Ararat because there's a new place that they're going to fulfill the mission of God for their lives. So he took the man, and he put him, in other words, he settled him He said, here's the place that I want you to be on the mission. You're going to settle here to work. Another word for work is to serve me, and to keep or protect or observe the command that I've given you. What's your mission? Your mission is to fill the earth and subdue it. Your mission is to care for the land. Your mission is to be on the lookout for others in the interest of creation. And so what Jesus shares is that the mission, the priority here, is to work and serve him and to keep or observe the harvest. Now, you're like, oh my gosh, why are you telling me all this stuff? Here's what I'm telling you. Let me ask you something. Could you be more generous with your time if you would simply be involved in the place that God has taken you and put you and charged you to work and keep it, rather than worrying about some other mission or somebody else's mission? How much more fruitful would you be with your time and in your life? Because if you want to see grumbling and fighting about fairness, it's we're always comparing our mission to somebody else's mission, don't we? Why'd she get that mission?
Well, who put him in charge?
What if you just took care of the mission that God had for you? Instead of worrying about somebody else's mission or worrying about what's out of your control, God's got a mission for your life. And sure, it looks different than somebody else's, but the faulty human assumption is to think that one mission is greater than somebody else's mission. No, they're not. It's all part of the greater mission. The mission that God has in store for each one of us. And the mission that God has in store for the life of the world. And so the scriptures say that the landowner goes out early at 6, and then at 9, and then at noon, and then at 3, and then at 5 o'clock. His life is spent. His time is invested in the priority of that mission. Not somebody else's mission, not another mission, but that mission. That's the mission he's charged with and responsible for. Notice what happens when he shows up at the 11th hour at 5 o'clock. And about the 11th hour, Scripture says he went out and found others standing. He said to them, "Why do you stand here?" Now, when you read that, y'all are thinking, like, why are you being lazy? Yes? And that's actually what it means. Why are you being lazy? Why have you stood here all day? You ever come home to your kids and you say, "What'd you do today?" And they go, "I don't know." Well, what'd you do all day?
Nothing.
That's what it is.
Nothing.
So he says to them, "Will you go into the vineyard too?" Now here's the deal. Were they lazy? No, they weren't. In fact, what they're saying is, nobody has come here to invest in us. Nobody took the time to come here and to invest in us. Nobody took the time and the care to invest in the fact that we have time and talent and treasure and a legacy to leave for the kingdom. Nobody gave us a chance. Who are the people that Jesus is always after? Those people. The least and the last and the lost. The sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. See, he has a mission for them too. Doesn't matter whether it's the 11th hour or not, the payoff is the same. What's the payoff? The payoff is grace. It doesn't matter whether you're hired early morning or the last hour of the day, the payoff far exceeds the struggle of work, yes? You're going to feel ripped off if you came into the harvest early in the morning and somebody came in at 5 o'clock and go, "Well, I should have gotten more." Well, that's part of the issue. There's something wrong with your heart. You had more time to get to invest in the mission. Which takes me back to this issue of time. The question I want to raise this morning is simply this. Are you wasting your time, or are you on the mission that God has in store for your life? Here's what grips me. It's this part of the passage. It's the 11th hour, and these people are standing out here idle. Nobody has hired us. Nobody's invested in us. Nobody's given us the time. And I wonder if sometimes the way that we do life is kind of like this. We get excited, we get charged up by something. Maybe it's, you know, something happens on Sunday morning. Maybe you see a TV show. Maybe it's a sports story. I don't know. Maybe just God gets a hold of you one day and you go, that's it, I'm in. I'm riding at dawn. Let's go. Alarm clock goes off. I'm right. It's going to be awesome. Going to be an epic day. I'm on the mission. I'm all about the mission. And then you get to 9 o'clock and you start to get a little tired, but you're still about, we got this. I'm on the mission. And noon comes along and you're like, oh, I'm on the mission. And the 9th hour comes along and you say, do I still need to be riding on that mission? And when the 11th hour comes, you say, there ain't no way I'm on that mission right now. Are you with me? And along the way, we're looking at all the other places we can be or investing our time in all kinds of other different ways. And what we miss are the people who are standing idle, waiting for the grace of the kingdom to come to them, for someone to invest in them. But we can't because we're just so busy on TikTok. Do you get it now? You invest your time in the places where it matters the least. You'll find yourself exhausted for the things that matter most. This is the way that it works. And I know what you're thinking, come on, dude, it's Mother's Day. Like, can't we do something nice? I mean, really? You're bringing this? I'm on a mission? I'm tired, dude. I've raised kids. I'm waiting for my Mother's Day nap today. We're going out to a nice brunch. They're going to leave me alone. I ain't cooking a thing. Brought me this crappy sermon today. You're killing me. What are y'all doing to me? I don't want to be on some mission. I want the mission of looking at the back of my eyelids today. That's my mission. All I'm asking you simply is this. Can you invest your time better? Can you invest your time better? You know, I think of an amazing woman on this Mother's Day named Daisy Metzlars, who invested her time and life in a profound way, a powerful mission, a 30-year mission. You know what her mission was? She's a school bus driver. How many of y'all know that is a hard mission to have? I mean, seriously, can you imagine kids that get on the bus, picking each other's nose? I mean, some of them can't tie their shoes. And so Daisy is, she's on this mission, driving the school bus for 30 years. So Daisy tells the kids, hey, it doesn't matter if you don't know your letters or your numbers. Here's the deal. I want you to look for the purple color. And if you can find the purple color, you're going to find me, and that means you're going to get home safe tonight. That's part of Daisy's mission. Daisy, she is actually the mother of an NFL tight end named Pete Metzlars. He was in the NFL for 16 years, played for 4 NFL teams, the Bills, the Panthers, the Seahawks, and the Lions. God bless him. So did she need the money? I don't know. I'm not in charge of her bank account. I don't know. But, I mean, it seems weird that this prominent mom of a prominent football player, that's her mission, driving the school bus for 30 years. But she always has the best in mind for these kids. I'm going to get you home. That's my mission. And it didn't matter whether it was at dawn taking the kids to school or at 9 or noon or at the end of the day, up to the 11th hour, to the last stop, Daisy was always locked into her mission. In fact, one day, Daisy, as she's driving home, it gets to the 11th hour. And, you know, you get to that time, you're thinking about everything. From what am I going to do for dinner to what am I going to do that night, or my gosh, just get these kids out of my hair. Public educators, our prayers are with you. It's the 11th o'clock, 11th hour, almost the last stop of the day. And one rule that Daisy had was this: you do not ever cross the street until I tell you it's okay to go. I will wave you when it's time. And all the little kids, can you imagine? They must have thought, I better follow that rule or she's going to send her tight-end son after me. Are you with me? So nobody's crossing the street without Daisy waving them. And sure enough, 11th o'clock, 11th hour of the day, she could have been locked into every other mission, but Daisy was locked into her mission of these kids. A little boy goes down the steps, stands out near the street. Daisy puts her hand up, wait, and she sees this car coming from the other way. And the car's not slowing down. And the car keeps coming. She holds the hand out to the little boy. The car's still not slowing down, so she slams on the horn. The little boy falls to the ground because the sound of the bus is so loud. And all of a sudden, the car screeches through, slams on the brakes, and then keeps right on going. Miss Daisy saved that little boy's life. Little Brian Ebel wouldn't be here today if it were not for Daisy Metzlars. She saved my life because she realized she had a mission. And I think our struggle is we make some missions greater than others, but at the end of the day, mark my words, the mission is very much the same. Get people home safely. Moms, that's what you've done for us for years. And the mission always isn't glamorous, is it? Looks like every bodily fluid that you never thought could exist in that much volume. And yet it's to love those kids and get them home safely. Today, what I'm asking is, how are you investing your time? Are you investing it wisely, or are you dumping it down a black hole? Because too often that's what we do. Get off the phone. Play with your kids. Invest in one another's life. Limit your social media to 30 minutes a day. Eat together 5 times a week. And when you do, shut off the television and talk to each other. Because in the end, the only real resource you get is time. How will you spend it wisely? And on that great and glorious day when you meet God, will you be able to say, I used everything that you gave me, all of it, to the best of my ability? I challenge you today to invest wisely. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your love, for your faithfulness, for grace, which comes so abundantly, and for the time that you give us. I pray, O Lord, today that you'd help us step back and evaluate how we spend our time, where we spend that time, on which mission field we're spending that time, and realize we can all be like Daisy. We can have a simple mission that gets someone home safely. Help us live that mission this week, whether it's at dawn or 9 a.m. or noon or 3 or 5 p.m. or into the wee hours of the night. Help us invest, and to invest deeply and wisely, so we might get people home safely. We ask this in and through the name of Jesus, and the people of God said, amen. Let's stand and sing together.